Well, good morning. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. I'm Pastor Christian Becker, and I welcome you to Lakeside Church's online Easter worship. We are glad you're here today. First, an announcement or two. If you go by the church building, you will see this sign on the door. But we're still Lakeside Church, folks. Please email me through the website or call if you have a prayer request. We love you all. We miss seeing you. Remember, this situation will not last forever, but while it does last, remember to stay in touch with each other, pray for our leaders, pray for those that are ill, their families, our community, and our church family. I do plan to post a brief video soon about how our church should be different because of what we're going through and how we're going to continue after this present crisis. Watch for it soon. Well, let's turn our hearts toward worship. Remember Jesus' disciples on that first Easter morning. They were sad. And like them, we're sad. We're sad because our meeting place is empty. But then let us be in awe and wonder like Peter, John, and Mary were when they saw that Jesus' tomb was empty. And then let us rejoice like they did when they met the resurrected Jesus and realized he's alive. He's alive. Let's listen while the Kingdom Quartet sings a great hymn, Christ Arose. And I encourage you to sing along if you'd like.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Vainly they watch him. My Savior, vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord.
Up from the grave he
arose with a mighty triumph for his foes.
He arose
a victor from the dark domain. And he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, alleluia, Christ arose.
Death cannot keep him prey, Jesus, my Savior.
Triumph o'er his foes.
He
arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever. He lives forever. He lives forever. He lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, alleluia.
Would you join me now in prayer as we begin? Heavenly Father, as we gather in our homes and worship you with our families, help us to remember that Jesus promised to never leave us or forsake us, that you are with us today to encourage us and comfort our hearts. Give us your peace during this health crisis. Comfort the families that are suffering and have had to say goodbye to loved ones. Please give wisdom to our leaders and to us. We need protection from you for our families. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. While we're unable to meet together, I want to thank those of you who continue to support Lakeside Church with the Lord's tithes and your offerings. The Bible encourages us in 2 Corinthians 8 to excel in the grace of giving. It says, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have." You know, as a pastor, I love the tradition of our church and singing the doxology as we present our gifts to God. It's a wonderful reminder that he is our provider. Feel free to sing along.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him all creatures here below. Praise him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Well, before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me again as we talk to the God of the Word? Father in heaven, as we open the Bible, your holy word, please give us eyes to see, ears to hear you speaking to our hearts. For we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. There was a young boy who nearly died from an insect sting, and he was warned by his doctor that another such sting could be fatal for him. One day, while riding in the car with his dad, a bee flew in through the window. The boy became hysterical. Thinking quickly, his father pulled the car off the road and he grabbed the bee and caught it in his hand, and his son relaxed. But after a moment, his dad let the bee go. The boy immediately started screaming again. He jumped in the back seat. "Don't worry, son," his father said. "You don't have to be afraid anymore." And he pointed to his hand. He said, "Son, see the stinger in my palm? That's what would have hurt you. I have taken the sting of death away." Friends, that's what Jesus Christ did for you and me when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. He took away the sting of death. One of the joys of following Christ is that we no longer fear death and the pain of separation from our loved ones. We have a confidence that followers of other religions do not have. Because of the resurrection of Jesus, we can know we have eternal life and we'll see our loved ones in Christ again. We're so used to celebrating Resurrection Day that we never think what the world would be like without it. But just suppose with me for a moment that when the women reached the tomb on that Sunday morning after Jesus' death, the stone was still in front of the entrance. Just suppose that they persuaded the guards to roll the stone away so that they could enter the tomb. And just suppose they found Jesus' body, cold and lifeless, lying just where Joseph of Arimathea had put it. Just suppose that no angels greeted the women, so they proceeded to anoint the body with spices just as they had planned. And then they left the tomb. The soldiers would have had to roll the stone back into place, and it would still be there. Everything that has happened since that day would be drastically different. The women wouldn't have bothered to go find the disciples since they had no message to give them from the angels. Instead of going to the tomb, the disciples might have left town as quickly and quietly as possible. That would have made sense because with Jesus dead, they would have been the next targets of the religious leaders. And then a dead Jesus could never have given his disciples the Great Commission to carry the good news to the whole world because with Jesus dead, there was no good news. And without the gospel, there would be no churches to worship in, no schools to teach people to read so that they could read the Bible, no hospitals to care for the sick, no orphanages to shelter those without parents, and no shelters or missions with a concern for the hungry and homeless. Why, you ask? Because all of those things were started by Christians, and with no resurrection, there would be no Christians. What a terrible and hopeless place the world would be. Now I can hear someone ask, "Well, Pastor, how do you know what the world would be like if Jesus had not risen?" It's a good question. And actually, the Apostle Paul answered that question, what if Christ had not risen? He answered it when he wrote to the church in Corinth. We have a book in our Bible called 1 Corinthians that is that letter. Now, the Greek world did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in the immortality of the soul, but not the body. Since in their thinking the body was sinful and evil, to resurrect it would only enslave the soul again. And they probably wouldn't deny the historical fact of Christ's resurrection. They just weren't willing to accept the resurrection of the Christian's body. Friends, Jesus' resurrection is the central fact, the linchpin of our faith. Now, a linchpin, that's the pin that goes down through the axle, it holds on the wheel. If that one thing is taken away, everything else falls apart. So Paul's answer is logical and forceful. If you deny resurrections in general, then by implication, you're denying Christ's resurrection. And if you deny Christ's resurrection, then you deny the whole gospel message with all its benefits. For those of us who call ourselves followers of Christ, our whole faith hinges on this one fact of history. Thankfully, the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is overwhelming. If you haven't investigated it, I encourage you to do so, and I'll share some resources with you to do that when I get to the end of my message today. But now, if you have a Bible, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin looking at verses 12 to 20, and if you don't have a Bible, we'll also have it on the screen. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Folks, listen. If the bodily resurrection of Christ is untrue, the Bible says that there are three direct consequences that affect your faith, as my faith, as Christians. If Christ is not raised, the first consequence that would affect our faith is that gospel preaching would be a lie. The Bible says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." Every sermon preached about the gospel would then be worthless. The King James uses the word vain here. Folks, lives cannot be eternally changed by a lie. That means that all the preaching of the past would have no value. The preaching of the apostles, useless. In fact, if we suppose that they were mistaken about the resurrection, then we must suspect their reports about everything else are also false. The only logical result is to give up the whole New Testament altogether. The preaching of those who died for their faith, it's a waste. The preaching of the giants of the faith, hot air. All a farce, a sham. Luther's sermons that brought the Reformation, a sham. Wesley's sermons that brought revival to England, a farce. Billy Graham's sermons that brought thousands to Christ, false. It would mean that those who led us to Christ were misled. If Christ has not risen, we shouldn't even be here right now. All preaching, a waste of energy. All listening, a waste of time. Everyone that claims his or her life was changed by the gospel would be lying, in addition to all the sermons being worthless. If Christ was not raised, preaching the gospel would be a lie because it would be the testimony of false witnesses. False witnesses. The Bible says in verse 15, "More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised." One of the things that make the gospel so believable is because what we believe is based on eyewitness accounts. And these eyewitnesses were put to death for their testimony that Jesus rose from the dead. How many people would die for a lie? Would you die for a lie? Would you? I wouldn't. Here's something interesting. Charles Colson, the former hatchet man for President Nixon, tells why the 1973-74 Watergate scandal proves the resurrection of Christ. He reports that just 10 days after John Dean told Richard Nixon that there was, quote, a cancer growing on your presidency, the first of the conspirators began copping pleas with the special prosecutor. Colson recalls that he and his colleagues were men of power, men who could order people around and get military planes to fly them anywhere. Yet they couldn't hold a conspiracy together for more than a few days. He then recalls Jesus' disciples. They were men with no power. They had no money or political influence. That every single one of them went to his grave, all but one a martyr's death, without recanting his testimony that Jesus was who he claimed to be and that he arose from the dead. Human nature, said Colson, should have forced at least one to recant if he thought he was dying for a lie. Unless, of course, all of the events of those days were true. So if Christ was not raised, the gospel wouldn't be good news, it would be a lie. The second consequence that would affect our faith is that if Christ is not raised, Christian faith is meaningless. The Bible says, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Folks, if Christ did not rise, then we are self-deluded. I'm speaking to all of you who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and who are resting in him with great comfort and peace of mind. To you who have experienced a change of heart and a great change in your lives through faith in Christ. If he did not rise from the dead, you believe the lie. This faith of yours that gives you comfort, which has renewed your heart and life, this faith which you believe is leading you to heaven, should be abandoned if your faith is based on a dishonest deception, a fabrication. If Jesus Christ did not die for me and did not rise again for me, I am lost forever in my sin. For it is in the gospel that I believed and was saved. And you say, well, what is the gospel? That's important to know. Let's look back at verses 1 to 6 of 1 Corinthians 15. Paul writes, he said, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. The Bible says that Christ died for our sins. He died for our sins. That means we are sinners and need a Savior. Then the Bible says he was buried. That proves he was dead. Next, it says that Christ arose on the third day. There would be no new life for us if there had not first been life for him. And then it says he appeared to the disciples and then to more than 500 eyewitnesses who verified his resurrection. Folks, listen to me. If there is no resurrection, then there is no salvation from sin. Because sin results in death. Death is a penalty for sin, according to the Bible. Only by conquering death could Jesus save us from sin. And it is only through faith in Jesus Christ that your soul can be saved from sin. The Bible says, believe in who? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Let me ask you this. What or who is your faith in? Millions before you have put their faith in Christ and found salvation from sin, peace with God, power in prayer, and comfort in trials. And you can too. If you have doubts, I encourage you to accept Jesus' challenge to the skeptic in John 7:17. Jesus said, if anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. So, if Christ is not raised, gospel preaching would be a lie, and our faith would be totally meaningless. The third and last consequence that affects our faith is that if Christ is not raised, heaven would be a joke. Heaven would be a joke. The Bible says, then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Friends, all hope of heaven would be gone. All Christians who have died have perished, gone forever, still in their sin. Every grave would be a place of despair. What a terrible thought. Many of us have seen relatives and friends die in the Lord, and we know that the full assurance of their faith was no mistake. Many believers have died in peace and triumph. They were not mistaken. Believing in Christ who lived and died and rose again, they had confidence in the midst of pain and joy in the hour of their departure. The promises of God are faithful, and therefore we are confident that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Folks, if you believe in heaven, then you must also believe in the resurrection. If you believe in heaven, you must also believe in the resurrection of Christ. It is only through the death of Christ for our sins and his resurrection, new life, and makes it possible for a sinner to go to heaven. Are you perfect? I'm not. You have to be perfect to go to heaven. There was an interesting poll a number of years ago in Time magazine that showed that 81% of Americans believe in the existence of heaven, a place where people live forever with God after they die. You know, even our jokes give away our faith and belief in heaven. Let me give you an example. Joe and Bill were out playing golf one day, and they were arguing whether or not there was golf in heaven. Well, the next day, unfortunately, Bill died. Joe went to the funeral, and then a week later, Joe was out playing golf on the golf course, and all of a sudden, he hears a voice calling his name. Joe! Joe! He says, "What?" "It's Bill. I have good news and bad news." Joe says, "What is it?" Bill says, "The good news is that there is golf in heaven, Joe." "What's the bad news?" Joe said. "The bad news is that you tee off this Friday at 2 p.m. You see, even our jokes give away that we believe in heaven. You say, "Well, so what? What does this mean?" Folks, the good news is that Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Listen to what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 and following. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." Friends, listen to me. Because Jesus is risen, gospel preaching is powerful and true. Faith in Christ does bring forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Believers do go to heaven when they die. Christians have much to rejoice in. Verse 20 says that Jesus is the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. You know what that means? That means that we will rise to be like him. That Jesus is both the example of and guarantee of what will happen to those that believe in him. In a time when death is in the news because of this new virus, the certainty that God will not allow death to have the final word is a source of great comfort for me and for you, and for everyone who puts their trust in Christ. So let me ask you this. What are you trusting in to save you from sin, to bring joy to your life, and help you through the trials and problems of life? If it is not faith in Christ, it will fail you when you need it most. Polls show that the majority of Americans are depending on their own ability to do good to get them into heaven and help them live now. But the Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. And maybe you say, well, Brother Becker, I have doubts. Good. Faith arises through our doubts as we pursue the truth, not in spite of them. Now, if you like to read good books, let me recommend two to you. Frank Morrison wrote Who Moved the Stone? He was a journalist who set out to disprove the resurrection of Christ and examined all the evidence. And then Josh McDowell's book, New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Both, I think, will encourage you as you seek the truth. If you have wondered about the resurrection of Christ or how you can be forgiven for your sins, the Bible has answers to your questions. This is so important because your decision about Jesus determines your eternal destiny. Friend, you can put your trust in Jesus Christ right now by praying a simple prayer of faith in Christ. You might say something like this: Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner in need of your mercy. I've changed my mind about saving myself, and I now know I need Christ to save me. Instead of self, I want Jesus to rule my life as Lord. I believe that your power raised Jesus from the dead, that it will also save me from my sin. Forgive me, Father, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed something like that, if you told God that just now, the Bible says you're a child of God. Because it says, but as many as received him, Jesus, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those who call on his name. So if you just received Christ into your life and trusted him as your Lord, please let me know. I want to encourage you and pray for you. All right, would you join me as we pray right now? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus, our amazing Savior and Lord. Thank you that he has indeed been raised from the dead. Thank you for those who doubt and are seeking the truth. I ask you to bring peace and assurance to their mind through the truth of your word. I pray for those who are troubled because of the uncertain days that face us. Help them to believe that because Christ lives, we can face tomorrow, tomorrow with hope in the one who holds tomorrow in his hands. I ask all of this in the name above all names, the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to close our service today with a special song to encourage you. Listen to the hymn, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow, sung by the Covenant Christian High School Chamber Singers from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
He came to know.
And now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May God bless you and keep you safe this week. Thank you for worshiping with us today. If you were encouraged, please share this with your friends and family. And Lord willing, we'll see you here again next Sunday. Until then, listen to the Bible. It's great for your soul.